How could David think he can get away with this? David deserves to die. David deserves justice. God ought to make him understand just what he is really doing. When David heard the sin of somebody else being unjust, David was able to be upset about it and see the severity of the sin, and David said, "That man has to die." See, it's easy for us to get angry when it's someone else's sin. Then Nathan takes the word of God, the message he shared, and shines that ugly mirror in David's face and says, "You are the man."
Following is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona, reaching out with Rock Solid Hope and Rim Country. February 14th, 2018. This message is based on 2 Samuel 12:1-9.
Ash Wednesday is a tradition that has long been celebrated in the Christian church. And actually, the picture behind it, the symbol of ashes and repentance, goes back even further. In fact, remember where it comes from. You have to go all the way back to the very beginning. And there you see God's pronouncement, that strong reminder of sin. "Dust you are, and to dust you will return." And so from that moment forward, God's people were reminded of the pain and the sting of sin. And it painfully echoes in the chapter 5 of Genesis. So-and-so lived this long, and then he died. And you hear it echo, "And then he died, back to dust, dust to dust, ashes to ashes." Really, what God did in that pronouncement was remind them, and what Christians remembered as they put on ashes and sackcloth throughout the centuries, the severity of sin and the reality of what sin brings us. Do we contemplate ever the real severity of sin? Did Adam realize what he had done that eventually it would lead to such a terrible thing? Well, this evening, I invite you to join me as we contemplate and look at the word of our God regarding King David as he began to grow to realize the severity of his sin and just what he had done. See, David was someone who had been greatly blessed by God. David, the former shepherd boy, was now shepherd, that is, king over Israel. David, who had now been receiving so many wonderful blessings from his God, was ruling over the land of Judah and Israel, was surrounded by land that was peaceful because God had given him rest from his enemies. David had his palace of cedar. David had everything. But then we see David, even amidst all the blessings which God had given him, as his sin begins to take over. Sin has a way of doing that, creeping into our life. We read of David who, in the springtime, when the kings go off for war, decided he wasn't going to go this time. And there's David in the springtime in his palace as his army is off fighting a war and he's at home, getting out of his bed in the evening, David with his leisure at home. And there he sees from the rooftop the wife of one of his close friends and bodyguards, Uriah. And while Uriah is off fighting a war somewhere, there's David, and he begins to lust as he sees her bathing. Of course, David doesn't turn aside or forget about it. David calls for her, brings her to himself, and there's David, having an adulterous affair with Uriah's wife while Uriah is off fighting the battle. Of course, it ended, and David washes his hands, Bathsheba takes a ceremonial cleansing bath, and it's all done, right? But this sin would come back to bite him, and it would not be something he could just sweep under the rug, as word came from Bathsheba, "I'm pregnant." Now David knew his sin would eventually come to light, because Uriah was still off fighting, and Uriah would eventually figure out something had happened here. Now would have been the time for David to confess, but David had a better idea. Maybe he could get Uriah to come home from the battle and maybe think it was his child. That plan fails. David has another idea. Maybe he can send Uriah to the battlefront, carrying a private message which seals Uriah's fate. The commander's told to put Uriah where the fighting is the fiercest, then draw back so that Uriah dies. Problem solved. David hears word that the mess has been cleaned up, Uriah's dead, no one's going to find out, and David's the nice guy now. David takes this poor widow of a dead soldier, and takes her into his royal harem and provides for her now. David, the nice David. David thought he could forget that sin. Didn't see the severity of what he had done. But of course, this is the real problem. Not just that David had committed this sin of adultery, not just that he had committed the sin of murder, but that David thought he could cover his sin. David thought his sin was not that big of a deal. David thought he was perhaps the exception to God's commands. And isn't this where you and I maybe begin to cross paths with David? When we think that we are somehow the exception when it comes to our sin. David did not like it when people sinned, but as far as his own life, he did not want to contemplate or think about the severity of what he had done. After all, when we cross paths with David, isn't it when we see the commands of our God, but we think, maybe it's not such a big deal for me, the sin I've committed. When the first commandment makes it clear you should have no other gods, are we tempted to maybe think it's not such a big deal if our comforts, our leisure, our possessions are so important to us they begin to take a place above our God? Or maybe we cross paths with David as we say the fact that we should be spreading God's word in his name but fail to use his name as we ought and call on him. The second commandment stands broken. But it's no big deal if we do it. Or when God tells us in the third commandment to honor his word, maybe we think we're the exception, if it's okay if on occasion we don't gather to hear preaching and teaching, and just on occasion hit the snooze button. Our sin's no big deal, right? Or when God tells us to honor those in authority, or when God tells us to not harm one another's body in even our words, to speak harm, or when God tells us that not only is adultery like David wrong, but impure thoughts are evil and condemn us. We begin to, like David, think maybe our sins aren't so serious, the things that we might get away with. But God brought David to see just what he had done. He brought the prophet Nathan and sent him and told this story, that David might see the severity of his sin. He said, David, there was a man, two people in a town, actually, and one of them was rich, the other one was poor. The rich man, he had all sorts of sheep and cattle and money, but he decided he was going to take this poor man's sheep. This poor man's sheep who had that special single lamb, which he treated like a member of his own family. You know those pets that you take with you everywhere. This loved little lamb. And that poor man took it, and he killed it, and he slaughtered it, and gave it to his guests. You can imagine, David was upset. David was angry when he heard that. See, it's easy for us to get angry when it's someone else's sin. When you heard the list of all the things that David had done, didn't you think, David deserves to die? David deserves justice. God ought to do him one to make him understand just what he is really doing. Same thing with David. When David heard the sin of somebody else being unjust, David was able to be upset about it and see the severity of the sin, and David said, that man has to die. Then Nathan takes the word of God, the message he shared, and shines that ugly mirror in David's face and says, you are the man. When we condemn David and say, how could David think he can get away with this? God would have us look at our own life and our own sin and say, you are the man. The one who has tried to, at times, belittle sin or to think that sin is something if nobody else notices, it's okay. David was right. That man deserves to die. Dust you are. To dust you will return. When Adam and Eve broke the Lord's commands and heard that pronouncement, it fell not only on their heads, but on yours and mine. Do we realize what we've done? We begin to see the severity of our sin when, like David, we see we cannot belittle it. We cannot cover it up. We cannot think if nobody sees that it doesn't matter. After all, it was David, the one whom the Lord said, the Lord looks at the heart. He looks at yours and mine. But we really realize what we've done when we see the full picture. Think about what this led to. The people that were crucifying and killing Jesus, didn't they know any better? Pilate should have known better, right, than to send an innocent man to his death. That man didn't deserve to die. And the soldiers who beat Jesus, they should have known better, right? But Jesus says, they don't know what they're doing. They're just fulfilling what needs to be done. And it's only when we begin to see that Jesus, that man who did not deserve to die, is on the cross and is suffering guilt, pain, and death. When we begin to realize that's what we have done by our sin, and it's only when we see our share in the guilt of the cross of Christ, that the Son of God, the innocent man, must die, that we then begin to see the severity of our sin. And then we realize also what our God has done. Yes, we deserve to die for our sin, dust to dust. But Jesus, the Son of God, took that death and that punishment for us. Nathan was able to say to David, the Lord has taken away your sin. You will not die. And God says likewise to us, the Lord has passed over our sin. You're not going to die. Not because sin is not severe. Sin is severe. But because God himself took that severity. And we begin to realize what our God has done. When we see the full weight and seriousness of our sin in Jesus on the cross. And we also see the full weight and mercy of our God with Jesus on the cross, taking our place. Yes, eventually all of us will understand that phrase, dust you are, to dust you will return. It's a reminder of the severity of sin. And many of us, I think, already have begun to feel the weight of aging and the fear that, yes, that day is coming. But Jesus, who took our place, is alive. And he will take this body when it is destroyed in dust. He has passed over our sin, and we will not die. Yes, that man, you and I, we deserve to die, but Jesus took that death, and now he will take that dust and raise it to life. Do we see what we've done? Or maybe more importantly, do we see what our God has done, taking us from ashes into his glory? This he has done through Jesus. Amen.